League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Coming up on show 714, Tesla will sell you a new track package for $5,500, but is it any good? Stick around, we'll find out more. Plus on the podcast today, the Ford Mustang Mach-E is selling well. Volvo dealers talk about a new electric compact crossover. The Byton M-Byte is coming to Europe before the end of the year, and Toyota build themselves a big electric vehicle factory. We thought they didn't like them. Maybe they're changing their tune. We will tell you more about that on the podcast today. I'm only joking. Thank you to MyEV.com, as always, for helping me make the show. They've built the world's first marketplace all about electric vehicles. It's a totally free marketplace that simplifies the buying and selling process, and you learn about EVs along the way as well. Some new names to add to the Patreon list before the end of the week is out. I'm just swapping emails with them at the moment to find out what they would like me to say about them. So let's kick off with this story about Tesla Track Mode V2 and also a new track package. They're the same but different. Let me explain, because they are separate actually. The first one is all about a new track package for the Model 3. This is a new package that Model 3 performance owners, you've got to be an owner of a performance Model 3, you can now get an aftermarket accessory package to boost your vehicle. Well, the Model 3 track package does come with some new wheels. They're 20-inch 0G performance wheels. I've had a look at them. Man, they are nice. They are distinctive, very lightweight, obviously. They also come with some sticky Michelin Pilot Sport Cup 2 tyres, easy for me to say, and high-performance brake pads. But the discs, or the rotors as you might call them, stay the same. You also get to part with $5,500 for the privilege of doing this. It does include installation. That seems pricey to me. Four wheels, four tyres, and some odds and ends. $5,500. The package, which is now available on Tesla's website, if you want to go and have a look, it says this, and I quote, "Optimize the track performance of your performance upgrade Model 3. Track package is a complete hardware package designed to give you maximum cornering force, braking performance, and high-speed stability for the best lap times. The full list includes the four wheels, the four Tesla logo center caps, 20 lug nut covers, four Michelin Pilot Sport Cup 2 tyres. It's still a mouthful. Four tyre pressure sensors, one front and rear high-performance set of brake pads, and new brake fluid, which is track-focused. I hadn't even considered brake fluid. Actually, until last week, I was over at someone who is just about the number one Tesla used seller here in the UK, Richard Simons, and a dealer very close to me, and he was talking about track focused brake fluid last week, and it was new to me, but he tends to take his Model 3s to the track a fair bit. He's a pretty handy driver, actually. The package is designed for racers, so as you can expect, says Engadget, the wheels and tyres do affect your range when it comes to everyday motoring. Would you like this track package? Well, you'll have to wait until April. In the meantime, some very good looking young 20 something uber fashionable YouTubers who all have YouTube channels that have hundreds of thousands of subscribers were invited along by Tesla. They did choose, I may say, a certain type of YouTube car show to come along and have a play. And they also had a play with Track Mode V2. That's interesting, because that's different to what we were just talking about. Let's go to CNET by Roadshow to get the full lowdown on Track Mode V2. Every Model 3 performance owner will receive the free upgrade that's packed with new features. So we've talked about the upgrade, which is like the hardware, if you like, the wheels, the tyres, the extra stuff. But Tesla Model 3 performance owners who did select the performance upgrade option will have this delivered as an over-the-air update, a free-of-charge update. Tesla did confirm to Roadshow that Track Mode V2 has already begun rolling out as a free over-the-air upgrade. back in 2018, we first got track mode, where you could tweak the software, or they tweaked the software, but it would give you access to some more dynamic driving capability. So what's track mode V2? It took a lot of people by surprise. We'd heard the rumours that it was coming, but it finally dropped at the weekend. So you get, first of all, a lot more options to change within your car. You can change the amount of regen, for instance, all the way from 0 up to 100%. You can change the bias of where the power goes. You get real-time data. You get temperature for the motors, the brakes, the battery, the tyres. It all brings it up on that centre screen in your Model 3. It adds a G meter. Ever watched, you know I love my Formula 1, ever watched motor racing and they do the little image overlay graphic and there's a G meter and they hit the brakes to go into the corner. They work out how many Gs the driver is subject to, like fighter pilot levels. Yeah, that. An accelerometer as well. Also, there's a new lap timer function. You can drop a pin to make a start-finish line. You can have official lap times recorded to compare your best time. And if you want to, you can also record all of the data, for instance, on a USB stick. So all of the data that's coming in through the vehicle position, the speed, the acceleration, your braking force. If you really want to do a track day or even a couple of laps and then go away for hours by the sounds of it and analyze the data, all of a sudden, this is now open to you. If you do combine that, of course, with the track package, the wheels and the tires and stuff, that kind of stuff, it's going to be a beast on track. The YouTube videos are well worth checking out, by the way. They're all online. They dropped over the weekend. I believe that's what the kids say. They dropped. They dropped the video. The video dropped. Sound like an old man, don't I? They're good videos as well. They look really amazing. They've been very well made. Let's move on. Let's talk Ford Mustang and Mustang Mach-E. How many reservations are for the Mustang Mach-E right now? Well, they're moving along nicely, says Electrek, and Jameson for Electrek says that if the reservation numbers are sequential, and we believe they are, there's now 41,500 reservations globally, and this data coming from the various Mach-E forum posts from people that have been reserving them. Reservations in all 50 US states so far. Now, it's worth noting that the reservation numbers started at around the number 4,000, the first few thousand reserved for internally for staff or testing purposes, I imagine. The 20,000 range was hit very quickly after the car was first put on sale, and now it's in the 40-something thousand range, 41,500 reservations, we think, globally, at least, for the Ford Mustang Mach-E. That'll be several thousand orders a week, and that is some good business for Ford, and it should be validation for Ford as well, who really put together, you know, like the A-team. It was like a crack team of people who were sent away to a locked room into a lab, a part of this giant company that is Ford, and said, look, we'll leave you alone, come back with a great EV, and here's all the resources to do it. And I think they really did, actually. The more I see the Mach-E, the more I really, really like it as well. Not saying that it hasn't got amazing competition. There will be big competition in that segment from the likes of VW with the ID4, which is the next one, the crossover that's coming. Obviously, Model Y, which is delivered in, well, we're in March now, so that's delivered in about 2 weeks to customers. So it's a competitive bit, but it's what we always dreamed of, right? We always wanted car companies like Ford and VW to be making great EVs and just to give us more choice. And that is awesome news. I'll pop a link to Electrek in the show notes. Good news next from Volvo. If you're a fan of Volvo, and plenty of people are, I'm a huge fan of the current Volvo styling. It looks gorgeous. Volvo dealers have been tipping off Autoblog that there's a new C40. It is a coupe-style crossover planned for the US in 2021. And yes, it's going to be all electric, described as a price point leader, a lease leader. Haven't heard that phrase before. Heard of loss leader, but not lease leader. Affordability car as well for a sporty-looking version of what is a smaller version of the XC40. Pure electric car, of course. It'll take its styling cues from pretty much the Volvos that are around at the moment, like the XC40. And how many they sell in the US, I don't know, I got no more specs on it, I got no more stats on batteries or speed or even pricing or anything like that, but it's good, it's great. 2021 is going to be another big year for EVs. Let's talk about Byton next. The Byton M-Byte pre-orders are starting in the European Union before the end of the year, says Electri. The Chinese manufacturer Byton accepting advanced orders from European customers for its first model, the M-Byte. €500 is what you'll have to part with to get your reservation in. And they've announced their first flagship store at Zurich Airport as well. Byton confirmed 65,000 pre-orders worldwide, 25,000 of those in Europe, and they expect a total of 2.8 million, that's a big number, right? 2.8 million EVs sold in Europe in the next 5 years. More than 700,000 of those being premium vehicles, and Byton wants a portion of that cake. Good luck to Byton, and I'm really following Byton with a close eye, and it's one of those Chinese companies that are talking about not only servicing, you know, their own home market, but expanding as well. And that's really, it's just really interesting to me because I'm, you know, it's fascinating how people have, like I just literally just mentioned, they have their favourites. You know, I always had VWs. Whether that was a car from the VW group, whether I had my Skoda Estate, the VRS, the Rapid Estate, and had my Audi TT, and then a couple of Golfs. So I always had cars from Volkswagen Group until Dieselgate, till I found out, you know, what they'd done, and then I decided to kind of take a break. But I was a VW guy, and you know, there are guys and girls out there who are, you know, Ford fans. And they will always buy a Ford, and that's why we need these car companies to be making their own EVs. So, long-time listeners know that I give Toyota a bit of a ribbing on this podcast, and that is only because I do find their policy of advertising EVs in different countries and what they stand for as a company in different countries, the message swings wildly. So, for instance, here, Toyota have the strap line, we choose not to plug in, because actually they sell a lot of their hybrids in this country and they want to make the most of that market. That's only fair. That's called running a business. But what they do is they run adverts of chargers covered in cobwebs. They say that, you know, you shouldn't be plugging in. Plugging in is seen as a negative thing. Their whole self-charging hybrid thing is all about, actually, plugging in's rubbish. You should get a hybrid that doesn't have a plug. And yet in different countries, they'll change their tune. And I think the world in 2020 is so small now. It's a global world. Like, social media, the internet has made the world smaller. And so I think that if you're a company, you probably need to not talk out both sides of your mouth, because people see through it really quickly. And that's my concern as companies try and pivot over the next decade. It's really hard for companies that are making their money from engines, but one day they'll make their money from EVs. It's how they do it. It's much easier to be a Rivian, to be a Tesla, you know, and have one message and just be real simple Simon. We do one thing, we make electric cars. Very, very hard for the others. And so Toyota, who choose, in my eyes, not to plug in, don't like plug-in cars, now announce they're spending $1.2 billion equivalent on a plant to make electric vehicles. They're doing it in China, and of course China's a big market for Toyota. They want to sell a lot of electric vehicles there, and I don't think people are walking around the streets of China going, oh well, you know, that they're the company that choose not to plug in. So largely people don't think like that. Maybe it's just me. It's a joint venture, by the way, between Toyota and FAW. They're investing $1.2 billion equivalent into a factory in Tianjin. A document issued by the authorities says they want a capacity at the factory of 200,000 NEVs, new energy vehicles, every year. And even though the Chinese market was a bit of a stinker last year for general automotive, not EVs, but generally, Toyota still sold 1.6 million Toyotas and Lexuses in China. Like, they're so big. They're so huge. And I just wish that if they are going big on EVs in China, I just wish they'd go big on EVs everywhere and you know, not run these kind of attack ads on cars that have plug sockets. But, you know, they'll do them, and they're big and they make money, and what do I know? It just It doesn't seem right to me. I don't know how you feel. I just wish they'd have one message, which is, you know, a kind of more grown-up, nuanced message, because, you know, plug-in hybrid cars aren't for everybody and pure electric cars aren't for everybody. But I'd love for Toyota to go, look, you know, buy the car that you want rather than spending a fortune on dissing EVs, because one day they're going to have to backpedal. Anyway, I'll stop now. Let's talk about EVgo, the charging network that has 800 locations, which they say now makes them number one. Well, let's dig into the numbers, actually, should we? So EVgo have 800 DC fast charging locations. That makes them the nation's largest and most reliable public fast charging network, they say, for EVs. So, yes, that's true for locations, but most EVgo locations only have a couple of charging stalls, whereas somewhere like Electrify America always has at least four stalls per location. So whilst Electrify America has 400 locations compared to EVgo's 800 locations, they have something like 1,800 chargers compared to EVgo at their 800 sites. And so, you know, it's obviously a good headline and obviously amazing that EVgo now have 800 fast charging, DC fast charging locations. It's just an awesome piece of news and congratulations to everybody at EVgo for doing that piece of work this year to hit the 800 number. Brilliant. Hey, some interesting news about the e-Golf. You know that the VW ID3, which isn't a Golf in any way, it's the same size, shape, looks like a Golf. It's not. It's the ID3. VW are very insistent about that. However, a car that is very, very similar is the VW e-Golf, and the latest version of that is very nice. Not a dedicated EV platform, it's been converted from the ICE platform, but still nice. And you know what, that's all the US has had until the ID4 and the ID5 arrive. Until now. Late last year, the 2020 e-Golf was indeed on the plans to go to the US, but a news story today says it won't be. There will be no 2020 e-Golf in North America. And at the moment, it's hard to know what's going on. Why has it been cancelled? Why isn't the e-Golf being made available? So I've been looking for statements issued, and I found one that was issued to Jalopnik earlier on today. They said this: a VW rep told Jalopnik the 2019 e-Golf is still available, but the 2020 e-Golf are actually all being sent to Canada. There will not be an e-Golf anytime in the near future until the MEB platform models arrive. That's the ID4 and the ID5, the first ones for the US. That's a real shame, by the way. e-Golf, nice car. The existing one, 2019 model, 134 horsepower, 125 miles of range. You still, obviously, you get your $7,500 federal tax rebate off next year's tax bill if you qualify. And, you know, it's a nice car to be inside as well. They know how to build a Golf. Right, final story from me today. And this is something that's been a bit of a bugbear of mine for the last few years. But the good news is our government have had a change of heart. And now the UK government have lifted the restriction on new wind farms. On land, onshore wind. The UK have lifted a ban on subsidies for new onshore wind farms after years of denying the technology support, a sign that ministers are looking for more ways to meet their goal of net zero emissions, says Bloomberg Green today. You see, the capacity of new wind farms on land, onshore wind, just plummeted because of a government level, what we have the Conservative government here, absolute refusal to consider subsidies for onshore wind and planning applications are being turned down, and even offshore wind that was within sight of the coastline. I had one in the town that I live in, Poole. The developers, the company said, okay, we'll site it out at sea. And I don't know who complained. I imagine the people who own the million-pound houses down on the beach or complain to the right person somewhere. That got knocked back because it would be an eyesore. What? It's on the horizon. It's out to sea. Morons. Anyway, but the good news is our government have had a change of heart. They've done a bit of a 180. They're backpedaling, and now They've had a statement come out to say that developers can now enter wind projects for onshore wind for future auctions, for contracts. More developers will be doing this, which these are the contracts which guarantee the price for electricity and power onto the national grid at like that sort of super, super high level. And so it's just a brilliant piece of news as far as I understand it. I'm not a big energy nerd, but I do want to charge my car on clean, green, renewable energy. And if I can do that on a windy day, knowing that more wind farms are going up all around the country, that is just brilliant news. I really, really hope that wherever you're listening to this podcast, in whatever country around the world, that you have a government or you have policies that are supportive of solar PV, offshore wind, onshore wind, and the cleanest possible ways to make electricity to charge our cars with, because it just feels good, doesn't it? And also, the cheapest energy now, the cheapest energy is wind power, certainly here anyway. There's been a bunch of offshore wind farms coming online lately, and the price per however they sell it, megawatt or gigawatt, it's just falling all the time with every, and this is sort of subsidy free as well, and it just beats the pants off of anything, coal or gas, and yes, even nuclear. It's many, many times cheaper. Thank you for listening to the podcast today. Would you like to answer question of the week? Because I'd love you to answer it. So here's the question. If I wave my magic wand and I install a charger at whatever location, whatever type of charger, fast, slow, destination, HPC, if I were to install one for you, where do you want it and why? And what kind of charger? I'm not sure what I would need. I think I would like something like a slow, like a destination charger. Try and think where we go most, probably shopping. These days, the supermarket. And I would like 50. I'd like 50, not 3-pin plugs, but, you know, level 2 chargers. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Anyway, so what about you? Where ideally would you like a charger installed? Let me know. Email me. hello@evnewsdaily.com is my email address. And you can leave a comment on the YouTube show as well, which, don't get excited, it's not video. I've got a face for radio. It is just audio on YouTube at the moment. But, you know, maybe I should get a camera. Maybe we should film this show. Leave a comment and let me know where I can put this charger for you. 235 patrons of this podcast means you get to listen every day, every single day for free if you want to. Actually, that's a lie. I think I'm at about 240 patrons because I've got some new names to read out. I'm just swapping emails with them right now to find out what they want me to say and how they want me to say thank you to them. I will get you those names very, very soon, later in the week. There are 713 previous shows in the archive, and thank you very much to my premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Bright Smith as well for Clean Tech Talents, and more names to add very soon. If you want to leave a little review on Apple Podcasts, it helps me grow the show. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow, and remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.